The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Merciful God, the fountain of living water, you quench our thirst and wash away our sins. Give us this water always. Bring us to drink from the well that flows with the beauty of your truth. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Exodus. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff from which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people may drink. Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy for the rock of our salvation. For you, Lord, are a great God and a great ruler above all gods.
In your hand are the gatherings of the earth, the heights of the hills are also yours.
The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land.
Come, let us worship Abraham. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. Oh, that today you would hear God's voice. There your ancestors tested me. They put me to the test, though they had seen my works.
40 years I loathed that generation, saying, "The heart of this people is safe. They do not know my ways."
Indeed, I swore in my anger, they shall never come to my rest. A reading from Romans. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flock drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to him, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I've ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Thank you. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel lesson for today contrasts with our gospel lesson from last week. Last week, we had Nicodemus having a conversation with Jesus at night, doesn't yet understand the good news. We heard the infamous passage, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." Nicodemus' conversation takes place at night. The conversation in our gospel lesson today with the Samaritan woman at the well takes place at noon, light of day. The scene in John's gospel really speaks to what it means when God so loved the world, because the world includes all people, and Jesus is showing us the implications of that and the barriers that are being broken down. What I've always been curious about, this encounter of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well, is that in the Old Testament, there are a few people that meet their wives at a well. Isaac and Rebecca meet at a well. Jacob finds Rachel at the well. Moses and Zipporah also meet at a well in Exodus. And there's a similar pattern to these stories. The Bible Project points out, you have someone who's on a journey to a foreign land. The man encounters the woman at the well. Someone draws water from the well. The woman hurries home to bring news of the visitor. The visitor stays with the woman's family. There's mention of a meal. The two parties are then joined as one. Actually, later in John chapter 3, before our scene here in John chapter 4, John the Baptist refers to Jesus as the bridegroom. And so if you're familiar with this kind of type scene in the Old Testament, it could trigger maybe a Tom Hanks rom-com, right, where you kind of know where this is going, or somebody pointed out to me last night, like a Hallmark movie, like you kind of know how this is going to end, right, when two people are meeting here. Well, they're meeting at a well. We know how this is going to turn out. Now, I would argue that the Samaritan woman at this well represents the church. An image of the church that we might be familiar with as the bride of Christ. This scene speaks to guide, as a guide of our relationship with Christ and what Christ desires to have with all of us. In our first lesson, there's a question about the presence of God. And I'm sure that many of us have had that feeling and questioned that ourselves. We can relate to that. Is God here? Is God really with us? Now remember, right in the beginning of John's gospel, we hear it often at Christmas. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And a couple Christmases ago, I emphasized that word dwell, better translated as tabernacle, that God became flesh and tabernacled among us. In fact, as Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well are conversing, she's bringing up some of the theological differences and thoughts about God's presence. She says, our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. Both were confining God to a particular location. But Jesus, the Word made flesh, who is tabernacling among us, doesn't even affirm who is right or who is wrong. Something we would expect in conversations like that in our society today. It's almost as if they and we are often asking and perhaps even pondering the wrong questions at times. And as I said earlier, the encounter itself speaks volumes. Here, Jesus is interacting with a Samaritan who would at the very least be considered an outcast, an outsider. And a woman whose background would not be worthy of the type of bond we would associate with someone meeting someone at the well. But Jesus is showing us what John 3:16 looks like embodied. When we take John 3:16 in isolation, which many Christians do, it can be seen as a threat. But now in the context of John chapter 4, we can truly see that God so loved the world. God so loved the world that a Samaritan woman who had multiple husbands can be joined to the God who is with us, who has come to us in the flesh and has tabernacled among us. Jesus reveals God to the Samaritan woman at the well when he says, "I am." In our translation says, "I am he," but in the Greek, the "he" isn't there. So, "I am." What does that trigger for you? "I am," right? Moses, who should I say that you are? It's, "I am, the great I am," is what Jesus is proclaiming here, revealing God's self. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Where this all gets twisted is when we think that we and others have to find God, as opposed to realizing that it is God who finds us. In this story, Jesus is the one who initiates the interaction, right? What are the rules and the conventions that our society has created that Jesus breaks in order to speak with you? Have there been times where you felt on the outside looking in? Maybe you don't quite belong or fit in. How has Jesus broken through that feeling, that reality, and has invited you to be in communion with the living God? How does Christ meet us on our way? In this story, Jesus is the one who's thirsty and asks for a drink. Do we notice Christ in the face of our neighbor? Do we notice an opportunity to serve Christ by ministering to the needs of our neighbor? And it is the one who is offering living water here who will be asking for water on the cross later in John's gospel. In John's gospel, when Jesus proclaims his abandonment is when he says, "I am thirsty." He knows that pain. The God who is with us, the God who has tabernacled among us, knows that feeling of helplessness and abandonment. It is this God in Christ Jesus that joins God's self to us, inviting us into an eternal union, an eternal relationship in which we are able, right here and right now, to partake in a foretaste of the feast to come when we gather around word and sacrament. And if we can look to the Samaritan woman at the well as an example of what it means to bear witness to the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ, I believe that would serve us all well as the church. Notice her witness is grounded in joy. Notice that she leaves her bucket, goes back to her village to proclaim the news, "Come and see a man who has told me everything I've ever done." Notice that she carries with her no anxiety. She carries with her no fear of the threat of death or the punishment of an eternal hell, because that's not part of this conversation at all that Jesus has with her. She's had a transformational experience in her encounter with Jesus and shares that with others. And that's really what we mean when we talk about evangelism. Share the good news of what God has done for you. What you experience in your relationship with God and others in community, the community that we call the church. Now, she doesn't mention this word at all, but you can see it in her joy and in her proclamation. She's encountered God's grace. "This man knows everything I've ever done." And what do you get the sense of? "This man knows everything I've ever done, and he loves me. This man knows everything I've ever done, and he welcomes me." The one who tabernacles among us is not confined to a particular place or space, but is everywhere. And anyone can have access and experience the God that they are thirsting for. The Samaritans from that city are invited to see through this woman who had this encounter with Christ. And as they encounter Jesus, what do they say? We've also come to know him to be the Savior of the world. An embodiment of John 3:16. A different kind of relationship and union that we have in Jesus Christ has implications for all of us. May the love of Jesus continue to quench our thirst in our daily journey of faith. May our sharing of the love of Jesus in word and deed quench the thirst of others in this world. And may we, like Jesus, take seriously that the Savior of the world is beyond the boundaries that we draw up and can at times be even beyond the questions that we obsess over, but is interested in drawing all people into this transformational, loving relationship with the God who is love, who is tabernacling among us. For in our time of trial, Christ assures us that we are not alone. For in Christ, we are forever in union with the living God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of creation. We pray for your church. Bless partnerships with other Christians and inter-religious dialogue. Guide the daily work of denominational and congregational leaders. Strengthen our combined witness for the sake of the gospel, that all experience your life-giving love. Merciful God, we pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ. Merciful God, we pray for the universe. All creation teems with life, from the depths of the earth and seas to the skies above. Fill us with awe and reverence for the diversity and preservation of life. Merciful God, we pray for the nations of the world. Topple the dividing walls that separate us from our neighbors. Form us into your beloved community where diversity is celebrated and affirmed. Merciful God, we pray for those who suffer in mind, body, or spirit. Be present with all who are lonely and give courage to all who are afraid. Comfort those who live with chronic illness or other sickness, especially Justin, Tracy, Mike, Scott, Connie, Donna, Maddie, Scott, Marjorie, Pat, Dixon, Pat, Charlie, Debbie, Candace, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, Marcus, Ella, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Lucas, Jim, John, Michelle, Vincent, Kelly, Carol, and our homebound. Give them your living water always, merciful God. We give thanks for the lives of all your saints, especially Gregory the Great, whom we commemorate today. Their hope in you sustained lives of faith and service. Encourage us with the hope they shared in you, merciful God.
We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your steadfast love and your promise to renew your whole creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace.
fire. You have not fed us with bread alone, but with words of grace and life. Bless us and these your gifts, which we receive from your bounty, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. With your holy ones of all times and places, with earth and all its creatures, with sun, moon, and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite forward our communion assistants and those participating in Children's Church. Distribution of the sacrament will be by method of intinction. You'll receive a consecrated host, and you'll dip it in either the chalice of consecrated wine or grape juice, whichever is your preference. Mark, our assistant minister, will have the chalice of consecrated wine. We will be receiving the sacrament kneeling around the altar, and usher will release you forward, and you'll come around the altar, and we'll distribute the sacrament that way. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you, keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Compassionate God, you have fed us with the bread of heaven. Sustain us in our Lenten pilgrimage. May our fasting be hunger for justice, our alms a making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Put the candles out. Go out that way.
Take and seal it, seal it.